Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me tonight. It's a pleasure to be here with you all. For those of you who I don't know, my name is Krista Sherline Grigsby. Still getting used to saying Grigsby Park, so if I miss that, that's my fault. And I am the director of the Rappahannock County Public Schools Farm to Table Program. Is a partnership between Headwaters, which is the Rappahannock Education Foundation, and the Rappahannock County Public Schools. I'm here tonight to tell you about the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act of 2010, how it affected nutrition in our public schools. First, I want to explain a little bit about what Farm to Table is, and then I want to tell you a little bit about the school nutrition legislation history, and specifically about the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act. That's a mouthful, which was passed into legislation in December 2010. Finally, I'll end by telling you just about some opportunities that you could have to become involved in making a difference in our schools. Farm to Table is a hands-on program. Every student who comes in with a manicure comes out with dirt under that manicure. And it's a lot of fun. I tout myself as the only teacher who gets to come to school with dirt on her knees, and that's okay. Because we are in the field, literally and figuratively, trying to explore the field of horticulture through hands-on education and lots of field trips to local family farms. We feel that both agriculture and nutrition education are very important components of our education. Here in Rappahannock County, agriculture is still the number one industry, followed closely by tourism. If we want to maintain the county's primary livelihoods, it stands to reason that we must also preserve the agrarian lifestyles and the county's unique beauty, which draws so many of us to this place. I personally believe that there's room for growth within agriculture in our community, and I believe that to provide Rappahannock children with positive experiences and education in the importance of agriculture is a way to give them a toolbox so that we can maintain agriculture and the rural agrarian heritage from which this area was founded. A couple of quick stats, some statistics about agriculture in our area. In Virginia, there's 92% of the farms gross less than $100,000 a year annually. Only 1% of farms in Virginia are direct market, which means they sell directly to the consumers who are going to eat that food. Most are wholesale that sell to a distributor that sells to restaurants or to the consumers through grocery stores. Organic agriculture is 12% of the organic farms in Virginia grow 91% of the profits. So there are some large scale organic farms which are doing most of the selling in Virginia. And a statistic that you may have heard before is that the average age of the farmer in Virginia is 58 years old. So that stands to, as a case, a pretty strong case that we do need new agriculturalists and new farmers in Rappahannock and in Virginia as a whole. One of the ways that we teach education in Farm to Table is through work-study programs. We do a work-study program at the farm at Sunnyside, as you can see here, where we visit about 6 times per semester so that the kids get to do all sorts of varied projects from seeding to harvesting to washing to collecting eggs. So they're getting a varied experience on that farm. We also do work studies at Waterpenny Farm. We visit Cliff Miller's Mount Vernon Farm. We visit Amosville Nursery. We go to Muskrat Haven. We visit as many farms and vineyards as we can. We always go to Grey Ghost every year, and Gadino has us out for their grape harvest. So we're really trying to give them a broad idea of what agriculture looks like in our community. Here we are at Cliff's farm. We did get to see some pigs that day, but Cliff is just fun to listen to anyway. I believe that agriculture and nutrition go hand in hand. And I'm part of a team teaching program at the high school, so I'm team teaching the horticulture class. And then I teach about 100 students per year at the 6th and 7th grade level. Those students live on or near farms, and every student passes by farms each day on their way to and from school. Many of them are really disconnected from agriculture and from eating the food that they're actually growing on their farms. One of the questions I ask every year is, do you have a garden? Usually about 75 to 80% of the hands go up. And then I say, do you eat the food? And guess what? The hands drop. and so that's a real problem that we're trying to solve.
That's surprising.
Well, their parents will eat it, but students are often found not having a preference for fresh food, which we're trying to change.
So the gardens are growing vegetables, not just flowers or something.
Right. Many of them are flower vegetables, flower gardens, but if they're vegetables, then kids aren't inclined to eat it unless they grow it themselves. Unless their parents say, all right, get out there and do some weeding. That's when a child has ownership over it and they're going to be more likely to try that food.
I'm going to put it on the table and say, I hope you like it because you're going to be hungry with all that meal.
Right. I wish more people would do that. Absolutely. I've been seeing that trend, though, change since we started the program in 2004. And more and more students are interested in having their own gardens. Many of them are starting their own gardens. And I've even had some students who've become interns at local farms, such as Sunnyside. But we do have a long way to go to still make the connection between our rural health and what goes into our cafeteria's dean tables. One way that we're trying to combat that and address that issue is that we sponsor seasonal local food tastings at our school level. The culinary arts department prepares all the food in their certified kitchens. We farm to table will buy the food or else grow the food. And we give it to the culinary arts program, they cook it, and then I get a cadre of volunteers to pass things out. And we've done asparagus crepes, which you see here, butternut squash soup, and we give out recipe cards for students to take home too. We did Swiss chard quiche last fall. This was asparagus crepes with dilled cream cheese and roasted pork and apple stew, which was one of the oldest recipes in the history. That was a Roman pork and apple stew from ancient Rome. So we're trying to make lunchtime an educational time as well. And I feel like that helps the disconnect between local farms and between the dearth of understanding of what kids should be eating. Also, Rappahannock County Cooperative Extension Agent Kenner Love and our Director of Food Services, Dina Wayland, pair up with about 7 farms in fall. Every November for the past 3 years, we've sponsored the Local Food Day. That is a Virginia-sponsored week. And so we're serving student beef hamburgers from Adam's Slaughterhouse, apple crisp from Williams and Lee's Orchards, and salad that's student-grown and that is supplemented by Sunnyside and Waterpenny Farm. So that week is full of educational materials and ways to promote the idea of local agriculture. Here's our salad going from the farm, which is at the high school, getting weighed, getting washed. It then goes into the school culinary arts class where it's washed in a sanitary kitchen, spun dry, bagged, weighed, labeled, addressed, and then goes into our school cafeteria so that we're meeting all Department of Ag and Department of Health guidelines. And here it is on the table. When Local Foods Day began, it really created a nice partnership between our school cafeterias and one local orchard in particular, which sells bushels of apples at a competitive price to schools. Surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, you can get apples cheaper from China or from Washington State than you can from Virginia most often. But we have found a very fair price, and we use a local farmer for that as well. So we do all this extra effort. We're going to all this effort to teach agriculture, to teach nutrition education. So what? I mean, we do all of it, and why? What's the point of all the extra effort? Well, using student local and student-grown foods helps support a local economy. It provides fresh food for students that they otherwise would not have access to, and students are more inclined to become excited about eating the vegetables that they grew themselves, like we said earlier, which will help with issues such as food security, natural resource conservation, and childhood obesity, which is, as you know, a growing epidemic. Here's a little statistic for you. Since the 1970s, the number of obese children between the ages of 2 and 5 and 12 and 19 has doubled. But that middle age, between 6 and 11, obesity has tripled.
Wow.
In 2005, approximately 6 million children were obese. 30% of today's American children and teens are overweight. This is the first generation that has a life expectancy that's lower than what we have ourselves. And 15% are obese. There is a difference medically between overweight and obese. But one-third of America's children, are overweight. Let's define malnutrition here. You might think of a distended belly in Africa because of the lack of calories. But malnutrition, it hits Americans just the same, well, not the same way, but the opposite way. Too many calories that don't provide nutrition. So it's not nutrient-dense foods, but it is still considered malnutrition. And this kind of malnutrition has all sorts of problems that are associated with it and that directly affect what happens in our schools. There's a study in Wisconsin, in Appleton, Wisconsin, and it was a school that was at-risk children. These children had kind of a lobby area where they could get snacks out of a machine and sodas. And these at-risk children had already poor performance in tests, in classes, and behavior. That's right. That's right. A few years ago, they changed that whole system. They decided they were going to really change what they ate, what these students ate, and try and improve the quality of the food. So they started serving whole grains. They took all the slot machines out, all the drink machines, all the snack machines. They took those out and started having tables where teachers would sit down with their students and share a meal. As a result of that, there were very clear indicators that student performance increased. The number of truancy decreased, behavior issues decreased, and test scores increased. So here's the history of school lunch policy. I've got some resources over here. One of those books is called Lunch Lessons, and it's written by Chef Ann Cooper, who's considered the renegade lunch lady. She's a nationally recognized chef who has really taken on school lunch reform in a big way. And from that book, I got a quote that says, "The very first school lunch program was started in Europe in the 1700s after teachers noticed that poor, malnourished children were having more difficulty concentrating than their well-fed classmates." Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're still battling the same issue here today, but in a different way. So 1946 was the first legislation that started the National School Lunch Program. And that provided federal funding for the very first time. And over the years, that has changed and been modified and tried to work to provide more fresh fruits and vegetables, such as in 2002. And in 2004, we being our country, said, oh, we need to make legislation that's looking at the tie between nutrition and wellness, which includes your education about nutrition and exercise. So in 2004, school wellness policies became required for every school in the nation. In 2006, it was allocated that every student would get about $50 to $75, whether you were a federal reimbursement program or regular school lunch payer, $50 to $75 for 1 year would be going toward fresh fruits and vegetables, was the idea. And I don't know if that happened all the way, because I feel like there aren't quite as many fresh fruits and vegetables now as when I remember being in school. In 2008, there was a big step forward, and that was a national legislation in the Food Conservation and Energy Act. Geographical preference means that you, as the director of food services, can say, yes, I'm bound to Sysco or some big buyer, but I can say that if a local product is available, I can buy that. In our school system, we have the lowest bid contract, which means that if Sysco sells lettuce for cheaper than I can get anywhere else, then I have to go with Sysco. This geographic preference says, well, if the lettuce is red leaf lettuce and not just a head of iceberg, you could have that choice. You can make that choice. And that made big, that was a leap forward in the ability to procure local foods. Last year, research came out called Too Fat to Fight. This was by the Department of Defense that called the obesity epidemic a national security issue because of the 1 in 4 kids at risk of hunger and 1 in 3 obese or overweight. So we've got both ends of the spectrum that are a national security issue. Based on that and on all the other things that are going on with First Lady Obama, there are major initiatives for food and nutrition and agriculture, and people are now starting to see the connection between all three of those. I just want to stop for a second and show you the Let's Move website. If you haven't been here before, it's letsmove.gov. It's very easy to find, and this place right here, Take Action, shows what you can do as a teacher, as a community leader, as a chef, for schools, for parents, and for local officials. And so I urge you all to take a look at that when you have a chance. So since the National School Lunch Program started in 2004, there were two major goals. And one was to assist with children's health. The second was to ensure a market for American farmers. And I feel like we're still rehashing that and still trying to work on that. And the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act is really aiming to do the same thing. So what does it all mean? Some of the SNAP is what's called, it's called SNAP now, and that's the money for like food stamps. And this is the most controversial part of the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, because some of the SNAP monies were reallocated to pay for the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act under the idea that SNAP funds would pay for school breakfasts and lunches, which are often the only hot meal that students get in a daytime or in their whole day. Oh wait, I lost a bunch of my slides. Here in Virginia, we could just using a little bit more local produce in each lunch could add up big for the Commonwealth. Let me see if I can find my statistics here. Okay, Virginia schools spend more than $6 million on fresh produce. And if you spent 25 cents a day on each student on local for Virginia products, that would generate about $30.7 million in local farm income. If it were 10% of all food procured in schools was local or Virginia products, that would mean $50 million for Virginia farmers. Those are big dollars, big numbers. As far as the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act goes, advocates for this program asked for 35 cents toward each school lunch meal. And I should back up here to say that school lunches cost about $1 to $1.50 to produce. If you're on the federal reimbursement program, if a kid gets a free and reduced lunch, school will get $2.50 for that child. And all of this money, you have to remember that money counts for labor, overhead, equipment, insurance, supplies, $2.50. I mean, how many of us can eat lunch for $2.50? Not many. It's not easy to do, and it's not easy to do if you're really trying to incorporate fresh and local foods, especially. So we're up against some challenges. Advocates asked for the 35 cents and received for the reimbursable lunches. So kids who are on free or reduced lunch, they'll get 6 cents per lunch added to that $1.50 or dollar. So it'll be $1.06 or $1.56. Doesn't sound like much, and really it's not that much, but it could make a big difference overall. That money will not be allocated until 2013, but the federal regulation has already gone into place. So schools are going to have to suck it up for a couple of years and still provide that additional nutrition and just hope that those dollars and cents cash in a couple of years. Any questions so far? Okay. What could you do? What could you do to make this different? Here's what you could do. I am helping organize a body challenge that Farm to Table and the local school nutrition program is going to be kicking off in August next year on Meet the Teacher Night. The body challenge is going to be an 8-week program, and it's a team competition where a team of 4 to 6 people will join together, weigh in on the first night, and the team that loses the most total pounds and inches will win prizes, and it won't be pizza. So you weigh in the first night, you weigh in 4 weeks later, and you weigh in at the end. We're going to have big festivals and health fairs. We'll have a local dietitian there to talk about diet and nutrition for students, for teachers, for parents, for community members, anyone who wants to be involved. We'll have chefs cooking local foods. We'll have cooking demos. We're going to do a 5K. It's a big plan, and I think it's a great way to pair exercise with nutrition to really focus on what we can do to make healthy bodies, healthy lifestyles, and a healthy community. So if anyone wants to become involved with the planning and organization of this, I'd be delighted to have you join me. Otherwise, we've got some really great kids, and those are our best crop. And to finish, I would like to show you 2 little films. The first one is, we did this 2 years ago. I had an intern who was really a great filmmaker, and we entered a contest called Real Food Is. And this was sponsored by the National Farm to School Network. And we came in 2nd place nationally. We didn't win anything, but we came in 2nd nationally for the high school division. There was high school and collegiate. So what we did was we had flip cameras that we checked out from the schools. Kids did their own little filming, and then Stephen spent about 20 hours trying to splice it all together. So here we go. Oh wait, let's get you some sound. Thanks, Kay. There we go. It's important for our kids to understand what real food is, that how they eat affects every other part of their life. Our mission is to cultivate students who are good stewards of the earth. They're weeding, they're harvesting, they're preparing the food, washing it, so the students get that hands-on feeling of how the food goes from the farm to the table, and that's kind of the crux of what we're trying to teach them.
What does real food mean to you?
Real food is healthy. Yeah. A lot of real food is natural, and it's included in the food pyramid. Fresh and tasty. It's good for you, and it's healthy, like this.
Healthy food just means that it's good for you. You have a lot of energy. If you eat junk food, you don't feel sluggish and weak. If you eat stuff like spinach, carrots, chicken, it's good for you. You got energy.
Healthy.
If you didn't have energy and you didn't eat your healthy food, this is one thing you couldn't do. Thank you.
stuff that you got in the backyard and your home.
You know where it's coming from, you know it's been put in there.
Grow anything from broccoli to cabbage to strawberries.
Lettuce.
Arugula, bazuna, beets, carrots.
And we planted turnips. We have apple trees.
Parsnips, radishes, herbs.
What else?
Asparagus, blueberries.
I think there was some squash.
Lots of different varieties. Last year we were able to stock the school salad bar 6 times with student-grown produce. It's really exciting to see the farm-to-table students in line because they're nudging the kids beside them saying, hey, I grew that vegetable. I grew that lettuce. You should try it.
Buying from local farmers, it's another way of keeping us rural because it helps the farmers not go into debt and have to sell their farm.
When you plant food at home, you don't have to waste all the gas to get it over here.
And that's helping in global warming.
Growing organically, it's better for the soil.
We actually take care of the soil. I think the cafeteria should get homegrown food.
I think it would make more sense to spend a little more money on the organic real food in the community than be buying stuff that's processed and bad for our bodies.
Of course, we're growing all the great food, but our best crop is our students. These kids are coming away realizing the connection that you are what you eat. And they don't want to be cheeseburgers. They want to be healthy. They want to have energy. They want to be smart. And they want to grow their own food. If you see the smiles on their faces when they eat the spinach, you see the reward that they're receiving from this whole experience. And that, to me, is the big success of the program.
So with that, I like to challenge people that tell me a kid doesn't like green things, and I'll try and prove you wrong. And finally, this is a little short clip from the Local Leaders Big Responsibility Contest, which I was nominated by Claiborne Crane, who was on the U.S. House of Representatives senior staff for the Ag Committee. And he nominated me, and I was one of 3 national winners for the work that we do with Farm to Table.
I'm Trista Sherline, and I'm a local leader with Big Responsibility. I live in Rappahannock County, Virginia, which is a very small county. There are more cows than people. The Farm to Table program is something I started because we were in an agrarian society and an agricultural community, and there was no agriculture in these schools. I would come into the schools and the first thing that kids would say is, yes, they have a garden, but no, they don't eat that food. They'd rather go to McDonald's than eat what we have right here in the county. It's so wild that that they grow up on a farm and they're still so disconnected from their food system. With that dearth of understanding, I felt like it was really important for these kids to be reconnected to where they're from, where their food comes from, and how much their food is intrinsically tied to their health and the well-being of the planet. The kids who were born after the year 2000, 30% of them are expected to have type A diabetes. How can we get these kids to learn about food if we're not going to teach that as a subject in school? And I feel like it's just as important as teaching math and science and English, because this is about their livelihood. We are learning about horticulture and horticultural sciences in the class, but then we broaden our perspective. We actually go through that process of harvesting. We have the garden, which when we started this program 6 years ago, it was just a flat place where Bobby Baldwin, the custodian, was mowing. And within the first 3 months, we built 13 raised beds, and we're starting to grow our organic salad greens for our school cafeterias right away. Anyone who tells you that a kid hates green stuff, I will prove you wrong. We always do a student-grown salad in the class. And as soon as they start growing it themselves, they love it. For kids to understand that amazing connection and to just feel the wonder of putting the seed in the ground, watching it grow, and eating it, and basically harnessing that energy of the sun. That is such a simple yet profound concept. I think, you know, with these kids' help and their energy and vitality, they are gonna leave a legacy that they will be proud of and that will make a difference in their lives and the lives of all the students who come after them. Being responsible means to me that you wake up every day with a mission and a purpose, and that you want to leave the world a little bit of a better place than you found it.
So some of the crux, I've left a little provision sheet over here, which I'll leave with the committee, about specific line-by-line items on the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act. One of the things is that water is going to be provided at lunch every day. Drinking water. Seems logical. There are some USDA grants that are going to become available. Farm to Table intends to try to work together with other local school systems like in Orange and Madison counties to try and be able to procure local foods and procure more fresh foods for our students by collectively purchasing. Those USDA grants are being funded through the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, and we're aiming to apply for that for next year. Other things, I lost half of my presentation and I apologize for that. I don't know where those slides went. But I'd say that the biggest difference is that 6 cents per student in federal funding for students who are on the federal or reduced lunch program, which isn't a lot, but it's a start and it's a step in the right direction. So thank your Congress people, thank your senators for supporting it. Take a look at Let's Move whenever you have a chance, and please contact me. I've left some business cards over here, and I'd love to get you on some committees to help make this body challenge happen. Should be a lot of fun.
Is this August this year or?
August 2011. Mm-hmm. Questions? Comments?
That's a mix of organic and chemical farms you're visiting. What do you teach them about that?
We only use organic processes on our farms, but I feel like it's up to the kids themselves to make that ultimate choice. It's not my job as a teacher to say this is the only way to farm, because sustainability has a lot more to do with than just the way that you farm. If you're looking at sustainability, I think of it as a stool, and there's economic viability, there's environmental responsibility, and there's social responsibility. So if you look at all three of those, a farm that is all organic and doing everything by hand might not be economically viable. Is that farm sustainable? No. So we're trying to really teach the concepts of sustainability and letting the farms themselves make those points for us. You know, when we go to a certain farm that is conventionally a conventional farm and he says, well, I just spent 80% of my total sales on fertilizer and pesticides, so I might go broke this year. Whereas we go to another organic farm or eco-organic farm and they say, oh, we just grossed $300,000 this year. The kids are learning those lessons without me having to say anything. And I think that's a stronger lesson for them to hear it from the farms themselves. And I can't tell them one way that it's right or wrong, because there are many successful farms here that are using pesticides.
Just as the Farm Bureau on the sidelines, are they working with you? Are they working against you?
Farm Bureau has been a major supporter of the Farm to Table program since 2006. They came on board very strongly. They've been one of our primary supporters this whole time. Last year I tried to get a training. There's a program in the Farm Bureau called Ag in the Classroom, where it's for K through 8 students. It links great with SOL standards, and I think they're doing a great job. We don't have any conflict, but there are certain things, like when I was making my mission statement, the Farm Bureau said, well, let's make it family farms rather than sustainable farms, because they want to meet and please all of their clientele as well, which is understandable.
So they're funding you as they're funding as well, or are they just?
Correct. Yeah, they've given us $7,500 for the past 3 years, and this year they gave $5,000. So they're one of our strongest and our only corporate sponsor. Mm-hmm.
So how many hours a week do you, does a student get to participate in this program?
At the high school level, the horticulture class is 5 days a week for 90 minutes a day. We also are working in the building trades class. Like building trades students are building us a shed. The industrial tech students are building us a wash station. So we're trying to really integrate with other classes as well. At the elementary level, I'm with the students every other day for 35 minutes a day.
That's all the students?
That is the farm to table 6th and 7th graders. Yeah. Though I do special events in other classes. Like I had 75% of all the first grade classes come out and we pressed apple cider in the fall. And I speak to the 4th grade class when they're on their conservation section. 6th grade science class has me in to talk about compost and soil science. So I'm really trying to integrate into the curriculum as much as possible.
About how much is your annual budget?
$42,000.
$42,000?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So at the high school level, it's not an elective subject?
It is. Horticulture is a subject that is an elective, but it also meets the science requirements. And so the kids are getting a science credit by taking this course.
And how many do you get? And what year do you get them in?
They could be 10th, 11th, or 12th graders. Primarily juniors and seniors are taking this course.
And how many do you get in the class? 20 or?
20 is the max. Because we're hands-on, we're spread out, and 20 is a lot to handle. So, you know, 15 to 17 is ideal.
And it's a semester?
Mm-hmm. So you do it each semester?
Right. Yeah, we added a fall semester class in, I believe it was 2007, because the demand for the class was so high.
So it could be up to 40.
Correct. We have about 20 per semester, so that would be a total of 40 per year.
And you're saying the percentage of these kids don't eat what their family grows in the gardens. That's amazing.
Unfortunately, yes.
I can't believe that.
But, you know, I say
yeah.
The biggest thing that I can teach these kids is your taste buds change over your lifetime. Oh, if you don't like it now, try it again later, because it might be good later.
And it usually is. I mean,
right. You know, you need to have adventurous taste buds, and if you can get a kid to become an adventurous eater, then you're doing them a benefit.
But you're saying if they have a sense of ownership and working with food, even at the family level.
I would say yes. Absolutely.
I mean, that has been my experience for many, many years, mm-hmm. and I'm so glad. I was wondering, I mean, you are so committed. This is just such a wonderful program. We're so fortunate. What about the adjoining counties? Do they have the same level of the quality of program we have here?
There are programs sprouting up, so to speak, in many different counties. Madison County has started a program that's in conjunction with their after-school program. They have a garden plot and kids can come out and grow their own food that they're trying to use in their school cafeterias, but they're not there yet.
Warren County
has been working on it for 2 years. They've met with some resistance because their school administrators think that it would be unsightly, and they're not sure that they can commit to that kind of funding. I know Albemarle County is doing some really great things. And I know that Page County has a good program. So it is happening, slowly but surely. It does, yeah. Let's see, on that annual report over here, I've got my last year's totals.
Unsightly.
Last year, Plant a Row got 170 pounds, Culinary Arts class got 46, the cafeteria's got 38 pounds. We grew a total of 376 pounds. So a lot, almost half, went to the food pantry. Good, thank you. All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.